of comfort in this world. But the purpose of the Bible is to remind us that this world is not our home. One way or the other, you go find another place to be when you leave here. What the Bible tells us is that it's a place that's prepared for prepared people. It's not want to be an accident that we make it to heaven. God have already paid the price and sent in his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us and gives us the instruction on how God would have us to accept, move forward, and be ready on that day. You know, he writes the prescription. You know, you go to the doctor, and you go to the doctor because you're sick. And you go to, if you go into the doctor and he coughing and sneezing and falling out and stuff, sis, you're like, time out, you know. Give me another doctor, you know. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, a man, no doubt, a carpenter, lived in the community 30 years that people knew he was a bona fide man. But through the grace of God, he became and represented God as who he was, his son. And so, in all of those New Testament stories, we understand that God didn't start working there. We know that God put into operation a plan to redeem us, not only us, but even in the Old Testament. And so we see his grace and God's nature working in these stories that we read about. That by the time we get to the New Testament, we ought to be ready to hold on to Jesus. Because it's not murky, it's not culture, even though Jesus went through the cultural thing, right? They asked him, who are you? You sure don't act like no Jew we know. He said, and Jesus said, you don't act like no child of God that I know. And I come to show you how to do that. And so what we've been looking at is stories in the Bible, Old Testament, to give us an understanding that God is consistent in what he's trying to do for us and trying to get us to understand. How y'all doing?
All right, thank you.
There you go, sir. There you go, sis. Good to see you, brother.
You too.
So we're going to look at the story of Ruth. And discuss it in the last minutes that we had.
People will be my people, and your God will be my God. You may have heard these famous words at a wedding, but these are actually the words of Ruth to her mother-in-law, Naomi. The book of Ruth shows us these women down on their luck in a foreign land without resources, seemingly abandoned by God. But Ruth shows faithfulness to her mother-in-law, and God's grace is present throughout their story. Nathan Daly is associate professor of biblical literature at Heritage Christian University, and he shows us the undercurrents of grace throughout the story of Ruth.
As we study through this theme of grace that we find in the Bible, this week we're going to be looking at the book of Ruth. And as I'm sure you all know, Ruth is a very well-known story in the Bible, a short book of just four chapters, but has long been one of the most well-loved and most taught stories that we know about. So what we're going to do is kind of walk through this book together and think about how this theme of grace kind of comes to light within this book. So as we do that, let's kind of think about a little bit about what the book is. Of course, it's this short story of this family and their kindness that they show toward one another as they go through basically these terrible trials, and we see how those are overturned. And in the book, it's just four chapters. The first chapter is kind of the setup where we have the crisis reported to us. And then in each of the three chapters after that, we have a different character kind of rising to the front. First Ruth, and then Naomi, and then Boaz. And each of them basically has a plan that they enact. And then those plans kind of lead us toward the conclusion of the narrative here. So as we do that, let's think of just a little bit in terms of what the overview of this story is. With our main character, Naomi, who is from Judah, but she's forced to leave Judah at the beginning of the story because of a famine in Bethlehem, and she moves to Moab. And while she's in Moab, she experiences tragedy as her husband dies and as her sons die. And as she tells her daughter-in-laws to stay behind in Moab as she's going to travel back home, one of her daughter-in-laws, of course, Ruth, decides no, she will not leave Naomi, but she goes home with her. And as they go back toward Judah, we enter into these scenes where they're in great stress as they have to search for food. And as they eventually kind of come up with this basically very dangerous plan where Ruth is going to propose marriage to Boaz. And after Boaz doesn't find anyone else who can marry Ruth, and we'll talk more about what that means as the story goes along, Boaz ultimately decides to do that, and Ruth and Boaz are married. They have a child who eventually becomes the grandfather of what we know, who we know is King David, and that's mentioned at the end of the book there. So through this story, what we're going to be doing is kind of looking at how this theme of grace plays out and how the different characters in the story exhibit grace, how that works, and how that kind of points to the attributes of God and what God has done. And in order to do that, what we're going to do is run through the story by looking at one of the central themes of the book. And that theme is this theme of emptiness to fullness in Naomi's life. Really, the story, the entirety of the story revolves around Naomi and her character and her life. And her life in the book is one that's, it becomes increasingly empty, and then it moves slowly toward fullness as we get to the end of the book. So when we're introduced to Naomi at the first of the book, she's in the land of Judah, the town of Bethlehem, and Bethlehem literally means house of bread. So Naomi is in the house of bread, but ironically enough, there's a famine in the house of bread, and Naomi and her family are starving, and they're forced to move away. So as they move away and she loses all the members of her family that we spoke of earlier, you can see at the beginning of the book, even, we'll just read verse 3. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. So you can see even there, Naomi is experiencing loss. Just in the language of the book, she was left with her two sons. And these took Moabite wives, Orpah and Ruth, and they lived there about 10 years. And then the two sons in verse 5 both died, and we see kind of the repeat of the language here for Naomi, that Naomi was now left without her two sons and left without her husband. So it's emphasized the loss that Naomi goes through in relation to these characters that have died. So as she's moved away in hope of food, what has happened is her life has become increasingly empty. And now, as a woman in the ancient world who has lost her husband and her male descendants, she's left in a place of great crisis where security is not necessarily granted. And she's left there with her two daughters-in-law. And that brings us to the end of chapter 1 in this well-known verse where Naomi says in verse 20, "Call me no longer Naomi," and Naomi means pleasant. "Call me no longer pleasant. Call me Mara," and Mara means bitter. "For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi or pleasant when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So as Naomi left Judah in order to be relieved of starvation, in order to become full, she actually states the reverse of that. What has happened to her, instead of becoming full, she says she initially was full with her family, and now she has become empty as time has gone on. So that's the setup in chapter 1, and what happens in the next three chapters is that the story then moves from this emptiness that Naomi has experienced toward her fullness. And as the three scenes progress, you can see kind of the steady reversal of how Naomi moves as we go along. So what happens in chapter 2 is we're introduced to this very important key word in the book, which is going to be translated in your Bibles as redeem, the verb, the noun will be there, the redeemer. And so you'll see the words redeem, redemption, redeemer throughout your text. Actually, 23 times in this short 4-chapter book, you're going to find that key word. So as you're reading through the text, you're going to really want to pay attention to that each time you see it. And as you're reading through your Old Testament, one thing that you're going to find is this word redemption has a couple of meanings. One is a technical term that has to do with law, and that is going to be certainly at play here, where you might have a person who goes into financial crisis and they need to sell their land. And if they sell their land, a redeemer will come forward, purchase their land so that it stays within the family and that their land, that all is not lost. And so there's this close relative of this redeemer purchases the family, keeps it until the person is able to then return to a place where they can have the land again. Now, of course, the other type of redeemer is the language that you're probably familiar with from everyday life. It's just someone who saves someone from a threat or a situation of danger. And as we're reading through the book of Ruth, you're going to find both of these instances in the book here. And so one thing, we'll look at a text here, chapter 2, verse 20, where Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a relative of ours. He is our nearest kin." And of course, focusing in on the concept of relative and kinship, of course, is bringing up this idea of redeemer that Boaz can then portray in the text. So what has happened here in chapter 2 is in their situation of need. This is kind of Naomi's first movement toward fullness, or her first movement where things finally start to get better or more hopeful for her. And she sees in this character of Boaz one who can be, one who can function as a redeemer for them. Now, at this point in the text, Naomi probably doesn't know much more than the fact that Boaz can provide food for them through his field. But we're going to see as the story goes on, and we can go ahead and read these texts from chapter 4, what will happen is that Boaz becomes a redeemer in this very technical sense of one who can save the land of their family and help them along that way. So let's look at a couple of verses here in chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 4 through 6, and then I'll read verse 10 and verse 15. All right, so chapter 4, verse 4. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me so that I may know, for there is no one prior to you to redeem it, and I come after you. So he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, the day you acquired the field from the hand of Naomi, you are also acquiring Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead man, to maintain the man's name on his inheritance. At this, the next of kin said, I cannot redeem it for myself without damaging my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. And you can see how the word redeem just occurs over and over in this text. As Boaz finds the closest person in terms of kinship to Naomi and says, you know, will you redeem the land? He's willing to do that, but he's not willing to marry Ruth in that process. And because that cannot happen, then of course Boaz is the one who can step forward as the next closest one and be the redeemer of this land. Because he is, after having read chapter 3, you will know that he is obviously willing to marry Ruth at this point. Also in verse 10, I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, to be my wife, to maintain the dead man's name on his inheritance, in order that the name of the dead may not be cut off from his kindred and from the gate of his native place. Today you are witnesses. And then we'll drop down to verse 15. He shall be to you a restorer of life. And here we're talking about the child that's born to Ruth and Moaz. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you is more to you than seven sons and has borne him. So here we have through chapter 4, we're able to see how this concept of redemption works in Naomi's life. Ultimately, Ruth is married to Boaz, but then what we find in verse 15 is the real fullness of Naomi's turn as she receives a redeemer. And you see that at the beginning of 15, he shall redeem you, or he shall restore your life. The he there is the child that is born to Ruth. And so this child that is born to Ruth is now seen as the redeemer of Naomi. You can see this at various levels. Of course, she is the grandmother of the child, and you can see how life is brought to Naomi that way, but also in the more technical sense of the one who will be able to take the land of her late husband, Elimelech. And he'll be able to, this child will be able to take that land and continue the name of this family on this land in Judah. And this reversal is particularly highlighted. This reversal of Naomi's life is really highlighted here in verse 15, where she is now returned to life. She is now, and this plays off this idea that we had in the very first chapter in verse 21, where it says, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. So where Naomi was empty when she returns to Judah in verse 1, and the same word is being used there and here. that she was empty and now she is no longer empty here at the end of our text. So she has been returned to life, and we've seen this complete shift in Naomi's life from emptiness to fullness, to restoration. So as we as we've told the story now we want to kind of think about how this story makes us think about this concept of grace, how this reversal of Naomi's life, of her movement from emptiness to fullness, how this helps us to think a little bit about grace, and how it helps us reflect on how we might be able to offer grace in the lives of others. So first of all, what I want us to think about is this idea in the book of Ruth that grace is seen as people act in fidelity, as they act to redeem, and as they kind of trust in God, as we read and as we see the story progress. And as these things happen, people trust in God and they act in fidelity and love toward each other, this concept of grace comes out through the ways that the human characters kind of are portrayed alongside the divine or the character of God. And so we want to look at how both of those work. So first of all, the character of God. How is God portrayed in the book? One of the things that I think is particularly interesting about the portrayal of God in the book is that God never speaks in the book. It's not like Exodus where God shows up and performs miracles or has long speeches or anything like that. Rather, in the book of Ruth, God only acts two times in terms of direct actions. One we see at the beginning of the book in chapter 1, verse 6, where God brings an end to the famine. And so the issue in Naomi's life that moved her out of Judah was the famine, and God is the one who relieves the famine, which at the time Naomi feels very empty, but it's this beginning process of moving her toward fullness. And the other direct reference to God's action is in chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive and she bore a son. So the second action of God that we have in the book of Ruth is this, is the birth of the child. So in the book of Ruth, God ends famine and he brings a child. And these are the very two things that are most important to turning Naomi's life back toward fullness. So we have those kind of bracketing the beginning and ending of the book, those actions of God. So what do we have in the middle of the book? Well, what we have there is we have these references to these human characters. And these human characters are really central to the way that we want to think about grace in the book. One of the key words in the book is this word fidelity. Your translation may translate it loyalty, loving kindness, steadfast love. It could be translated a lot of different ways. You'll find it in chapter 1, verse 8, chapter 2, verse 20, and chapter 3, verse 10, if you want to see how your translation translates that word. But as we're kind of looking at the different characters and the way they interact with each other, this word is central to what's happening. And very often, this is a word that's used for God's action in the Bible. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But here, it's the humans that are acting in this way. They're the ones that are acting out fidelity. The word itself isn't used specifically for Naomi's actions, but you can see that in her actions in chapter 2 as she comes up with this plan for Ruth to glean in the fields and to help take care of Ruth. You can see it in Ruth's character over and over, as she works hard in the fields, also as she's willing to go down to the threshing floor and enact this dangerous plan, along with Boaz there. You can see it in Ruth that she, of course, chooses to stay with Naomi at the beginning of the book. And then you can see this in the other characters as well, especially Boaz, as he's willing to be a redeemer for the land, but not just for the land, but to provide a child for Naomi, to provide a grandchild for Naomi to help her descendants carry on in this land. So you can really read the book in light of this word fidelity and see how the different characters act that out as they go through these struggles. One other way that we can see this concept of grace coming out in this book is when we look for the these references to God through the book. Like we said earlier, even though God only acts twice, that doesn't mean God is absent through the book. In fact, the characters themselves regularly talk about God and talk about what God will do, what God is capable of doing. They pray that God will do certain things. And so we see these references scattered all throughout the book. One of my favorite ones is in chapter 2, where we have Boaz talking to Ruth when she's in the field. And let's look at verse 12. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So Boaz is basically telling Ruth, things will get better. They will go well for you because the wings of God will cover you. Now, if we flip over one chapter, and just remember that word wings there, to chapter 3, verse 9. And when Ruth is at the threshing floor with Boaz, and Boaz says, who are you? And she says, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are next of kin. And when she says, spread your cloak over your servant, the Hebrew word for cloak there is wings. And so what has happened in the text is that Boaz says, may God, you know, spread his wings over you. And then when Ruth comes to Boaz, Ruth says, spread your wings over me. And of course, Boaz does. And this becomes the beginning of their marriage. This becomes the beginning of this child that's brought forth. And so you can see how this little wordplay operates in the text, where the characters say, God can do this, but the characters don't stop. They continue to act. They continue to do things. And as they do that, it's in a sense the prayer ends up becoming fulfilled. So through Boaz's own actions, his own prayer ends up happening, which is a really interesting way to think about the way that human initiative and divine guidance work together. The things that God can do, that we trust God can do, but also that humans can act at the same time to provide blessing to others as well. And so this concept of fidelity is incredibly important for looking at the human characters in the book and how their lives of fidelity work together to provide for each other. And probably you can see this as well in the most famous verse of the book in Ruth chapter 1, where Ruth chapter 1, verse 20, where Naomi says, 16 and 17, where Naomi says to Ruth, just stay here, but Ruth says, no, I'm not going to stay here. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. And so this idea of fidelity, that Ruth is going to stay with her mother-in-law at all costs. And as we close, we'll just very briefly mention another way that we can see grace in this text, and that is through thinking about Ruth as part of the story of God. And so Ruth follows the book of Judges, where at the end of the book of Judges, you have just a complete scene of anarchy, and the book of Judges ends by saying, if we only had a good king, a good Davidic king, then things would be better. And so we enter into the book of Ruth, which is set in the same period. It's set in the time of Judges. And where we read about all these terrible things happening in the time of Judges, in the book of Ruth, we find this family acting out of kindness and caring for each other throughout the book. And as we see that, we see a very different side to the same period. And the book, of course, ends with the reference to David. Through this line, now Ruth and Boaz have given birth to a child who will be the grandfather of David. So at the same time period, we see a very different slant on life as we're reading this part of the story of God. And then as we continue on to 1 Samuel, we see this story continue to play out. And as we read through these texts, another element we can see in terms of the story of God is that these very important key words, and you can look at these in the study guide, these words, fidelity, which is a word that's used for God in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, or this concept of redeemer, which is used for God all throughout the Bible, as God is one who redeems people at the Exodus, at the exile, in times of need in the future, and we have verses for all those that you might want to look up. And so those are various ways that when you read this story about these human characters and put them in line with this larger story of God, you see how Ruth is playing off of or adding to themes that we know very well that speak of God in other places. So at the end of the day, what do we have with Ruth? We have, yes, a short story of kindness, of a family, but we have a very important story that teaches all of us how we can practice fidelity and redemption, and how we can practice these characteristics and attributes of God, and we can reflect those. And by doing so, even in the smallest of ways, we might make very big changes in the world, and we can see ourselves participating in God's story as well.
There is an endless song.